brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Yes, it's sippin' time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m. This is a one-hour
are
show.
Are we the best at 2 a.m., really?
I am the best at 2 a.m. I know you're not, because I know your wife. This is a one-hour show. Also, something that I know that you don't know anything about for an hour. Not even 52 minutes. Again, she's a very sad, sad woman. Mm. This is a one-hour show that makes the occasional attempt to be entertaining for at least some small segment.
A fraction.
Of that.
It's safe to say a fraction of that time.
Yeah. Like calculus kind of like fractals, like, you know,
that
tiny multiple decimal point pieces of that time.
Let's go for 20 minutes today.
Sure, why the hell not? This is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Maury.
Good morning, Bob. It's a pleasure to be here, sipping on some of the finest grape offerings.
And good old gal Denise.
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be back.
And good old boy Harmeet.
Yeah, whatever. Roll Tide, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for the wine.
He's in his normal, cheerful, happy.
It's two happy in the morning,
mood.
Man. I have stuff to do. I have to go disappoint my wife.
They make medication for that.
I know.
You did that, what, 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I said I do right now.
Yeah. Okay.
So. Almost 10.
And he continued. She always says, it's like we were just married, because he disappoints her every single day.
Every day.
That's so, right.
Consistency. Consistency.
Maury and myself are with the Bourbon Mafia. The Bourbon Mafia is a nonprofit organization composed of bourbon enthusiasts and industry professionals. With representation in 8 states and 2 continents, our members provide a love of bourbon with a passion for charitable work. The group uses their love of our native spirit to raise money for local and national charities through rare bottle auctions and other themed events. You can check us out at the Bourbon Mafia on Facebook. Our show is also sponsored in part by Fine Spirits in Cooper City, Florida, home of the Enomatic Machines. Serving great wines, whiskeys, and other spirits by the glass. You can find them at finespirits.net or also on Facebook.
At Facebook/finespirits.
At Facebook/harmsadisappointment/finespirits.
That's a different fan page. Completely different fan page.
Oh, that's the one she set up. Okay. Yeah. Our sip segments are...
Thousands of members.
All right. Well, we're also sponsored in part by the Florida Whiskey Society. To find out more about the society and all of their events, which are not disappointing, you can go to FTLWS.com.
You registered the domain, man.
Yeah, been drinking. So our show is all about wine and distilled spirits and tea and coffee. And today's show is going to be about some interesting wines. We have some wines from Spain. And we have some champagnes.
You know, champagne is not champagne unless it comes from the province of Champagne. I learned that in bartending school.
He's right. So are you gonna argue with the Walken? I think not.
No.
So here are the wines we're going to be tasting today. We have Castro Martin Family Estate Sobre Lias from 2017. We have the Paso Pandol Minavida 2018.
Jeez. I told you to put the enya in. You used an N.
You can barely speak English. From Pomeray, we have the Brut Royal. From Pomeray, we also have the Blanc de Blanc. The Cuvée Louise 2004 and the Cuvée Louise Brut Nature 2004. And we're going to have Denise tell us about our sips ratings.
Oh, don't mind if I do. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Take it away.
One sip.
Wait, I'm not ready yet.
You let me know.
That's what he says every night, wouldn't you? What,
there's medication for that.
That wasn't me who said
How many times must I say it? Jeez. Okay. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth. Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Four sips. Let's keep this a secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Five sips. Oh my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. 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 Yes.
You don't even say it.
You notice at the opposite ends of the pole, that was the sounds going on in the head in his honeymoon. And in his honeymoon night.
In his honeymoon.
This is all he heard. Okay. And the reality was, this is what she was thinking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Moving on. Rare form today.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Happy, why don't you tell us all about the first couple of wines we have here from Spain? Let's see if you can pronounce it correct.
First, I hate you all.
Mm-hmm.
Second, our first two wines are from Spain, a region that is that not a lot of people may be familiar with. So let's have Harmeet tell us a little about the Rioja Baixas region before we introduce the next wine. That was what we were supposed to be reading, where you were making fun of me. That was the part you were supposed to be reading, by the way.
Hold on. Wait. Let's check the sexy chick and see if you're right.
You.
Rioja Baixas.
You're close.
What? Rioja Baixas. Anyway.
No.
Winemaking.
Not Baixas.
Baixas.
Baixas. Rioja Baixas.
Yeah, I don't like this. Baixas.
She's sexy.
She's stilted.
Oh, she's hot.
Anyway.
I know she's got to be hot. I'm pretty sure.
Let's see how he gets
I don't
it
think
right.
She's
it's
as
all
good.
In his head.
No, I don't think she's as sexy as the chick that we had that was doing the French when we did the cheese show about a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I still have that app.
You are a
I still have that app.
Harm makes me play it. Every time I go to a store, he goes,
asks her random questions and
make
so
her
can
talk.
Hear her.
Make her talk. And I hit the button and he sort of rolls his eyes back in his head and makes weird noises. So. All right, go ahead.
Winemaking, Rioja Baixas, dates back to thousands of years. The region's first winemakers are believed to have been the Romans, whose occupation of the surrounding Galicia region brought trading, technology, and viticulture. More refined winemaking was introduced by Cistercian monks who arrived from France in the 12th century. Wine production in Galicia and Rioja Baixas flourished in the 14th and 15th centuries with the discovery of the New World and the establishment of trade routes between Spain, England, and the rest of Europe. Planting and production in Galicia and Rioja Baixas continued to expand through the 19th century until the trade wars and export bans led to an overcapacity and vineyard abandonment. Then phylloxera devastated the vineyards throughout Europe. During the replanting of hybrid native Spanish varieties in the early 20th century, Albariño began to emerge as the region's star, showing its potential to produce high-quality wines in the hands of a new generation of skilled winemakers. The modern winemaking history of Rioja Baixas began in 1980, when an official denomination was created specifically for the Albariño grape variety, the Denominación Específica Albariño. However, in 1988, Spain joined the EU, and the denomination was changed to Denominación de Origen, or DO, Rioja Baixas. As the EU wine laws don't recognize a DO named for a single grape variety, up to 12 different grape varieties are now allowed in the DO Rioja Baixas, but Albariño is still king, accounting for 90% of its plantings. So, it's queen. They call Albariño the queen of the Spanish grapes. I don't know where you got that king from, man. It's all sex specific there in Spanish.
The Maybe if you actually grapes. Read the script correctly, then you'd know. I'm just saying.
It says king.
Ay, chihuahua. What? Moving on.
Let's do our first wine, kids. Our first wine is the Castro Martin Family Estate Sobre Lias 2017. This wine is made from 100% Albariño grapes as selected from vines that have an average age of 50 years. The vineyard sits in an elevation between 160 and 820 feet. The grapes are hand-harvested using small baskets to avoid bruising of the grapes, and the fruit is then sorted upon arrival at the winery, pressed, and the juice is fermented at cool temperatures in stainless steel tanks, where it remains on its lees for 5 to 6 months. And for those who are still learning, the lees are the yeast, the dead yeast, after it's been, the grape skins, after it's been pressed and fermented. And right now, this beautiful wine, the color is just a clean straw color, very clear. The nose, it's kind of like candy to me at first, like lemon candy. I get the sweetness, and then I come back to it, and it's all about white flowers and peaches. It's very pretty. It's not like some other Albarinos I've had where it's more mineral, but this is very nice. The palate... Let me take another sip here. It's peaches and lemons. It's just a nice racy acidity to it that goes all through, gets you on the sides of the tongue. It's just clean. I really enjoy this wine. I think this is a great seafood wine. The finish is medium long. Peaches come back, some slight minerality, like a salinity coming back to it. I was expecting more roundness from this wine because of the 5-6 months on the lees. So I'm like stretching and I'm thinking maybe there's a little bit of melon here. But maybe like just on the center of the palate. But I was expecting a little more creaminess or a little more weight from this, from the lees. What do you guys think? Denise?
I agree with most of what you said. On the nose, though, I really get white flowers, so not so much. At first, it was sort of sweet, but not really lemon candy sweet for me.
When I came back, I got the white flowers.
And then I came back to it, and I had the white flowers. Really interesting, when it was first poured in the glass, and it was cold, really tart and really sour, and it's mellowed.
And we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
And we're back, and we're talking about some lovely Spanish wines from the Rioja Baixa region of Spain, and Denise was telling us what she thought about it. So,
sure. Well, as I mentioned, when it was first put into the glass, maybe, Harm, you're right. Maybe it's just because it was the first one on my palate today. It was a little too cold.
Too tart.
A little acidic, but it's warmed up. It's mellowed very nicely. I really get lemon, but not a very tart lemon, just a nice balanced lemon. And the finish for me was a medium, still a little medium, light, tart finish.
And as it warmed up, those white flowers are really coming out more.
On the nose. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's really opened up nicely. What do you think, Maury?
I kind of agree with most of what the two of you have said so far. For me, it was really more green apple. It was definitely tart when I first tasted it. It's definitely mellowed. I think some of that was palate adjustment, and some of it maybe just a little bit of air. But I particularly agree with what Harmeet said about the lees. I didn't know that until I went back and reread it, because it doesn't taste like a wine that spent time on the lees. It tastes like a stainless steel fermented wine.
Lees contact's not showing like I thought it would.
Right. It should have given you that mouthfeel, that body, creaminess, maybe even a little bit of yeastiness. And really, you don't get any of that. So if you're expecting those features, don't. But I think based on what you do get in the glass, very well made, nicely structured. And as I said, the Denise and Harm have really nailed it with regard to a little bit of tartness, a little bit of acidity. Again, for me, it was more green apple than lemon, but a lovely wine. Bob?
Take the Jolly Rancher out of your mouth. That's what you're tasting.
Yep. I love apple.
That's why your tongue's green. So it's a lovely wine. It really is. I mean, I think it's extremely well put together. I think it's on the nose. I mean, their tasting notes mention a salinity on the nose. I definitely get that. And I get white peaches. And I get white flowers. It's got a lovely nose on the palate. Mm. I think it's very well put together. The acidity is balanced. It's not out of play. And when you first tried it, it seemed a little more acidic, but it's
too cold than we first tried
it. It's definitely, now that it's warmed up a bit, it's settled down. I get some pear note on it. The lemon is huge, but it's not a bitter lemon. It's not acidic lemon. It's more of a, you know, like a lemon rind, a lemon oil. And a really nice mineral note on the bottom palate and down the back of the palate.
I kind of want some scallops, man. Did you make a scallop?
I kind of want scallops all the time, but you know,
I think it'd go nicely with spicy food. I think this could go well with Indian. This could go well with Thai.
I don't know. Let's see. Harm, how's it going with you?
Yeah. Can't do it. Can't do it, man. Need to get. It takes me a while to make the butter chicken. Takes preparation.
I think it's a lovely wine. You know, good representation of the region. Definitely.
I'd agree with you about the minerality. I got more minerality than salinity.
More back palate.
But definitely,
I don't get the salinity on the palate. I get it on the nose.
Yeah, yes.
Tip of the nose. It's almost like an ocean breezy kind of salinity. Mm-hmm. But you get more of that earthy minerality. More of a. Not like a Moselle where you get that slaty minerality. This is a little bit slaty, but it's more gravelly, more earthy, but not overpowering. I definitely agree with you guys. The impact of the lees is definitely muted, but I'm imagining that's what they're going for.
This is probably their style.
I mean, this is definitely.
I've had barrel aged from Albarino. That's a rare thing too. So there's people do make different styles of Albarino.
Yeah, and I mean, if you really wanted the lees to be, you know, in your face another 6 months and again, barrel aging a boneless to stainless steel would probably really, really bring it out. But I think that's what they're going for. It's fresh. It's clean. I could definitely see me, you know, this be a great one sitting out in the backyard, you know, having a little wine and cheese and a cigar and a little whiskey and just lounging. I mean,
I think that's nice. Everything for you, a little cigar, wine and cheese. That's fine.
There's nothing else
there's
for
nothing
Bob.
Else.
It's what I'd be doing right now if it wasn't for you guys. So
it's 2 a.m. The neighbors would be complaining.
I do it in the dark. It doesn't matter. So we're going to be rating the Castro Martin Family Estate Sobrelias 2017. Three sips.
Interesting.
All right. So we're going to be going on to our next wine. And this is the Paso Pandal Minha Vida. 60% Albarino, 40% Trechadora from the Condado de Tia region. Let's see. Nice nose on it. A little bit of mineral. Almost a tartness to it.
It's definitely tart on the nose.
Almost a little citrusy, but I think leaning more toward a lime or a sour orange. But it's got a nice roundness to it on the palate. Mmm. On the palate, this one is definitely a much more creamy finish than the first one. The first one is much more bright, more sharp. This is a little more creamy. I get a big boost of citrus, especially around the edges of the palate. A little bit of minerality to it. A little bit of floral. Yeah, very nice. I mean, very nice. What'd you think, Denise?
Well, that's a good question, because I've been thinking about this particular one for several minutes now. Again, it's very different from when I first tried it. I like it. I really had hoped that on the palate was going to be exactly what I got on the nose, because I really love the nose of this. But although on the palate for me, yes, it was creamy. I liked the citrus. It was crisp. It was clean. It wasn't full-bodied enough on the palate for me. I really had a little bit higher expectation coming
light,
off the nose for me.
Definitely light.
And,
but you're not going to want...
And then the finish was a little short. I wasn't going to do... Say that again?
Albarino is generally usually not full-bodied.
Right. Okay.
Unless it has a lot of barrel aging. This is they don't tell us anything about the vinification of this wine, so we have right. no idea how this is
right.
made.
But I just thought the nose was so lovely, and yeah. I think I was just hopeful.
That disconnect
and so maybe
is
I was just slightly
more,
let down, yeah. although I still thought it was a beautiful wine. And for me, the finish was just a little short, though. So a little bit longer finish would have helped to even that out for me. Absolutely.
Boys? I agree.
Chime in.
I don't think what you were saying is that it had, you were expecting the body of a big buttery Chardonnay.
No, no.
But in comparison to
the nose,
the class, to comparison to the first wine, comparison to the nose, the body was a little bit of a letdown. It was a hint creamier and a hint nicer mouthfeel mm-hmm. than the first wine. But other than that, it was a little bit more one note and less complex on the palate. It was definitely a little more citrus for me than green apple like the last one. Definitely got some of that minerality. And again, a nice wine, but just sort of missed the mark a little bit for me.
Okay.
I you guys all mentioned minerality to me. This is not, it's not a mineral note that bothers me here. There's an herbal component at the end of this.
At the end,
there's not just that. It's like a foxiness, you know, that kind of animal kind of smell. It's like peach skins and like a foxiness. I don't know how else to describe it. But it's a definite characteristic to certain wines, especially in the New World. But I think this is Trecidura. The nose, white flowers, the citrus, and then underneath there's that animal note and a dark kind of bitter herb. It just didn't do it for me. From the nose to the palate, it's just this one I was a little kind of disappointing to me.
Arm, when you lay down with dogs, you smell like animals.
Yeah, well,
I would not have described it as foxy or animal like.
Have you ever had some upstate New York wines, Catawba or what else? The ones that grow up there. There's some weird ones.
But, yeah, they grow some weird ones up there.
Yeah, so that kind of reminded me of that foxiness at the end of the wine here.
No, I admit there's something else there at the end. I just probably didn't know how to identify it or describe it.
To use the word foxiness, so yeah,
it's very raccoon-like.
Tell my wife she's foxy every day.
He writes that stuff down when he finds a new one, and you know he's got one of those calendars. So,
Jesus Christ,
maybe it was the faux fox stole that she came home wearing. He's got foxy on the brain.
Could have been the high heels he was wearing with it too, but you know.
No, I think it's got a lovely nose.
It's foxy.
I feel the same region, but they're very, very different wines. But I believe this one cost about half what the first one does. So, actually, I think maybe a little bit less than half. So, also... Put that into your $2 chuck. Nothing's that bad. Good Lord, please. these wines are very reasonably priced. I do think that if you take into account
so is water,
you know, the price range, these wines are quite impressive considering
well, that's the nice thing about wines from Spain in general.
Very reasonable.
They always have been, and they're a lot more now than they were, say, 15 years ago.
Give it time, the Chinese will ruin it and drive up the price.
Probably, yeah, but... You know, you remember 15, 20 years ago, you were getting amazing Spanish wines for almost nothing. And, you know, they got a little bit of a boost. But still, I think if you're talking Europe, the best value for the dollar, I think, is still coming overall from Spain. So, you know, nice wine. We're giving it 3 sips.
Interesting.
All right. So Maury is going to take us over the border from Spain into France.
Here we go.
And tell us a little bit about Champagne-Pommery.
Thank you, Bob. The history of Champagne-Pommery began in 1836 with a wool merchant It was in that year that the house of Dubois-Gossett was sold to a group of investors, which included a local merchant named Alexander Louis Pommery. 20 years later, Alexander Pommery was ready to retire, but with the birth of his second son imminent, he decided to leave retirement behind and get into the wine business. So in 1856, Alexander, along with partner Narcisse Greneau, founded Pommery and Greneau. In 1858, which is 2 years later, after the death of her husband, the business was taken over by Madame Jean Pommery. It was Madame Pommery who redirected the focus of the business from still red wine to champagne. Madame Pommery based the expansion of her house on the creation of wines unlike any others, with one constant demand: quality pushed to the extreme. Well aware of how important the grape's origin was to the quality of her wines, over the years, she built a collection of the finest vineyards in all of Champagne. In 1874, with an eye on capturing the English market, she created Pommery Nature, the first Brut Champagne to meet with commercial success, thereby breaking with the tradition of Champagne as a very sweet wine. In July of 1868, Madame Pommery launched what would be the largest construction project of the century in Rheims, the transformation of chalk quarries into wine cellars. French and Belgian miners dug 18 kilometers, 30 meters below the earth's surface, of interconnected galleries formed of barrel vaults and rib vaults. A monumental staircase with 116 steps is the sole connection between this underground world and the one outside. Upon Madame Pommery's death, control of the house went to her daughter, Louise, who ran the business along with her husband, Prince Guy de Polignac. The house continued in family hands until 1979, when it was sold several times, eventually ending up with the LVMH Group in 1990, who subsequently sold the brand to the current owners, the Vranken Pommery Monopole Group, located in Rheims, which also owns Heitzig & Company, Monopole, and Vranken Chateau Gourdon, Domaine Royal de Jarras, and Roséus in their portfolio. Pommery produces over 500,000 cases per year. So with that, let's go on to our first expression. This will be the Pommery Brut Royal. It is a non-vintage champagne at 12.5% ABV with a dosage of 10 grams per liter. The Pommery Brut Royal is made from a blend of one-third Chardonnay, with the balance being a blend of Pinot Noir and Pinot Meunier, from 40 selected villages in the Champagne region, aged for a minimum of 3 years. This has a beautiful straw color. It's very light. It's got some beautiful floral notes on the nose, along with some lime, a little bit of green apple and white peach. Again, very reminiscent of some of the wines we've talked about earlier on in this segment. On the palate, it's just got a lovely mouthfeel. There's definitely apples and golden raisins and grapefruit, some chalky minerality, and even a little hint of brioche on the palate. It's got a nice viscosity, palate coating, and I would say it's got a lovely finish that's medium to long. Really classic French-style champagne, extremely well-made, very popular. They make a tremendous amount. They obviously sell a tremendous amount. 500,000 cases amounts to over 6 million bottles of champagne that they're making. So that's quite a large volume. But they do a beautiful job.
I could drink it.
Yeah, you definitely could drink
it. I know I could drink it.
Yeah. Denise, what do you think?
It's beautiful. You have to wake me up. And I'd like to raise a glass to the Pommery women, because they really apparently took it to the next level.
I would be devastated if you did not join me for at least one glass of fine champagne.
Not sure about anybody else, but on the nose, the very, very back, I get a slight hint of tobacco. And I thought, at first, you know, that'll probably fade, but it's still there for me. It's really interesting. It's not what I expected at all. I agree with you. It's medium bodied. It's beautiful. It hits all areas of my tongue, especially the tip right on the entry, and that's really fun and interesting. And for me, the finish is medium to long. It's just It's beautiful. I'm really enjoying it.
Checks all the boxes.
Yes.
One box is missing for me here. The mousse died early. There's not enough bubble for this. It just went away early. I don't know.
Well, just add a little foie and
there you go.
Or pate.
Everything's better with pate.
And you'll just add it in.
If you just drink it faster, then you don't have that problem.
Drink it faster.
Just add your mousse.
For almost an hour, and it's got nice life and lively bubbles left.
Really? Mine feels like it's going a little flat early.
No, mine but still has some life.
I mean, it's not. I mean, I love this champagne. I do like it quite a bit. But you guys are saying that there's nothing. I don't disagree with anything you said. But it's just the bubbles have disappeared early for me. How about just another splash?
That'd be another splash. Yeah. Oh well. Can we pass?
Pour for your husband first.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you. There you go. Thank you. A fresh.
Now it's going to be delicious. Mm. I don't know. I don't think any of it goes flat. I've been known to drink it off the nightstand out of the bottle the next morning, and it's still beautiful and wonderful.
I get a lot of lime on the nose and the white peaches. I didn't get the apple that Mari was getting.
Anybody get that little tobacco hint or no? Just me on the nose.
I'm looking for it and not finding it.
Trying to find it.
All right. That's okay.
I mean, at the end, it's my brain. It's white peach. And then I noticed neither of you guys mentioned on the palate a little biscuity nature. Or did Mari mention brioche?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a brioche-y.
Yeasty, biscuity.
More of a biscuit for me. More of the yeasty kind of chalky kind of.
Well, the minerality, it comes at the end, that chalky minerality. It's just kind of, it's there, a little drying and nice, but it's not over the top. I mean, like some other champagnes. It's very well balanced.
Yeah, it's well put together. This is their flagship standard.
I will drink it.
It's well put together. Like Maury said, it hits all the boxes where it's supposed to. You've got a really nice color to it. It's got a great mouthfeel to it. Really good, good representation of what it's supposed to be, good representation of the house.
And Pommery is actually inexpensive for champagne.
Yeah, and that's the other nice thing is it's not bloody expensive. So we're going to be rating it 3 sips.
Interesting.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
And we're back, and we're discussing some lovely champagnes from the House Pommery. So,
I would be devastated if you did not join me for at least one glass of fine champagne.
Come on, I love that. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That guy can read the phone book and I just sit there and watch it.
So true.
Fanboy.
So we're going to be going on to our next champagne, and we're going to have Denise tell us about that one.
Well, this is the Pommery Blanc de Blanc. It's non-vintage. It's 100% Chardonnay, 12.5% ABV, and the dosage is 7 grams per liter. So it's an average of 3 to 5 years. Beautiful color. It's like all the others. It's just
brilliant straw.
Yes. And
pale gold.
Beautiful. Going to have to defer to the gentleman today to help me to describe this. I like it. It's very nice. I get all citrus, though, on the nose. Maybe a little bit of woodsiness on the nose.
Yeah, almost
with that.
A little tiny bit of smoke. Right.
So it's floral and woodsy and citrus, but on the palate for me, all citrus. I'm really having some trouble identifying.
I disagree.
You disagree. I want to hear.
It was
that's
flat
why
when I put
I
it in the glass.
Defer.
It's warmed up. It's aerated. And now you can really tell the difference that it's got much more body and viscosity. You can tell there's a much more heavy prevalence of the Chardonnay.
It's 100% Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's
and,
very
and
prevalent.
I normally love Blanc de Blanc. So when I first tasted it, I was not a huge fan.
It was too
really
cold when
evolved.
You first tasted
yes.
it. This is great wine now.
But it was warmer. It was warmer than everything else. But you're right. It was a little cold. But also some air has done it a great job. And in the meantime,
how about some tasting notes, though? So,
well,
other than
I don't
the citrus,
get all the
that
citrus.
I'm
I get
really?
Like butteriness, I get brioche.
That's what I want.
I get all
maybe
this
I
great
just
stuff.
Need to pour more
no,
in my
lots
glass.
Lots of brioche.
Yeah, yeah, lots of brioche. Okay, well, the three of you discuss it and describe it. I'm going to pour a little more.
Just French bakery and a little bit of orange marmalade.
Exactly. It's got all that stuff going on.
I feel so sad
now. It's like brioche, not so much the yeastiness, but that buttery. It just that
maybe you got the wrong wine.
I
all
don't
that
have
Chardonnay
the wrong wine.
Just
I better
coats
not.
Your
you
tongue,
poured it.
And it's just so lovely. It just fills the mouth up.
That's not the right wine. And that's not, I didn't pour that.
Which one are you drinking?
Try that.
Well, perhaps we have solved the mystery.
That's hilarious.
No, it's that's pretty the much right the one? Same. Yeah, it's the right one.
The right one.
It's the right one. It's okay.
It must
I want
be your
to love
factory
them all.
Bulbs.
Must
well,
be.
Anyway, I agree with Maury. The I think the flavor's there. It's orchard fruit and smoke and beautiful yeasty bread. And
well, it's
not too yeasty.
Good thing we average our sips. Mm. I don't want to bring down the score.
No, I kind of like, I liked it better when everybody gave their own sip rating. This whole average thing is like, no.
What are you giving it?
I mean, I would give this 3 to 4 sips, but we have to do the average thing, don't we? I love this this champagne, but we've got better stuff coming up.
Yes, go.
All right. As he sits there with his eyes closed and can't see a thing any of us are doing here, so never mind. So we're going to be rating the Pommeray Blanc de Blanc, 3 sips.
Interesting.
All right, so we're moving on to our next one, and we're going to ask Mr. Happy over here to tell us what he thinks about it.
Okay, Pommeray Cuvée Louise is 2004.
Oh, he's so French, isn't he? Okay, he emphasizes it when he talks.
So glad he wore his beret. Yeah.
Cuvée Louise is the tête de cuvée from Champagne Pommeray, 60% Chardonnay, 40% Pinot Noir, 12% ABV, and 5 grams per liter of dosage. Created in 1979 as a tribute to Louise Pommeray, Cuvée Louise originates in the vineyards of Avize, I don't know how to pronounce that, Cremant and Aille, and the 3 Grand Cru areas that are the jewels of the crown in the Champagne region. So there's 3 Grand Cru regions. Cuvée Pommeray is all from there. Their wine, it shows. It really does. Again, the color is a beautiful pale gold straw. The nose, yeasty brioche over the top. The green apple that Maury's been hallucinating about is here in this bottle. There's some really nice salinity, like chalky notes, and some lemon. And this is you can tell this is a tête de cuvée champagne just from the fine mousse. It's just when you put this in the mouth, the bubbles are finer, and they last longer. It's great citrus and tropical fruit.
Biscuits
are there.
Biscuits.
That was on the nose. It was more on the nose than on the palate for me.
You know what I get on the nose?
What?
Crazy. Cotton candy and brown butter.
That's nuts, but yeah, I'm not going to, you know, if that's your if that's
maybe
your
I should
association,
just be left.
That's your association.
are you hungover from the fair last night? You went to the South Florida fair?
I just can't
there
help it.
There is a little bit of candied ginger in here, and I like that a lot. And the finish is long and dry and just quite good. I mean, besides the cotton candy, what'd you get out of it, Denise?
Oh, well, everything that you described. I was so busy enjoying it.
Yeah,
but
it's a clear
the
step
sweet
up.
Biscuits, you know, it's hard to get past that. It's hard to get past brown butter and cotton candy. And then sweet
and
biscuits
bands.
On the palate. Yeah. You just want to, you know, pour another glass and keep drinking. So it's delicious.
Why not? 2 a.m. What else we got to do?
I love the finish. It's pleasant. It's long. It just makes me come back for more. So I love it.
I have a bunch of Frenchies who shop with me. I mean,
dogs, little Frenchy dogs,
and little valued French customers.
Hold on, you want me to do this again for you?
Yeah, okay, good. Go ahead. That's the one. Yeah, yeah.
Talk about your talk
my my French customers will put their nose up at Dom Perignon and ask for Cuvée Louise.
Okay,
the price point's better too. So, but
sure.
Yeah.
What's the price point on this?
Like $130.
Bargain.
It's a bargain. It's quite good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the butter part, the brown butter, but I do get a nuttiness on the nose. So
oh
maybe
yeah,
that's the same thing.
Mm.
Right up.
It's like more like almonds.
Yeah, toasted almonds, maybe?
Yeah, yes. It's like a toasted. I mean, I get a butteriness.
A toasted hazelnut.
And then I get that nuttiness. So I definitely see where you're going with that. But
it's
yeah,
a bridge
it's
mix.
It's just so. Yeah. It's Chex Mix in a glass. It's just well put together. I mean, it's just such a well put together champagne. I mean, the nose is there. The mousse is there. The mouthfeel is there. It's just. Yeah.
You can tell the bubbles are finer, more delicate. Just mm-hmm. that whole sensory component adds to the champagne as well.
Yeah, it's just more refined. It's really nice.
Mm. Yeah, we should just do stuff like this all the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's just do Tête de Cuvée champagnes and forget everything else.
Mm-hmm.
If only I could. So we're going to be rating the Pommeret Cuvée Louise 2004. Four sips.
That's classified.
Not surprised.
So, and we are moving on to our last wine of the day.
Ooh.
Grab it here.
Why, man? Why?
Well, it's just the last one we're talking about. The bottles are still mostly full. So it's not the last. It's not the last of our day. It's just the last of the people listening to this. That's their day. So we're going to the Pommeret Cuvée Louise Brut Nature 2004. This is aged 10 years on the lees before being disgorged with no dosage added.
Zero sugar.
A blend of 35% Pinot Noir from the Grand Cru Village of Aix and 65% Chardonnay from the Grand Cru Village of Avis and Cremant. 12.5% alcohol by volume. Again, the color's beautiful, like all of them have been so far. Let's see on the nose. Again, you get that citrusy. I get almost like a blanched almond, sort of a lime note. And the company's tasting notes, I believe, mentioned something about a peppermint top note.
Interesting, because I saw that.
And I do.
But I crossed out the pepper.
It's not so much
because I crossed it out too.
It's mint.
Yeah, it's not so much like
a little more spearmint than peppermint for me.
It's more that cooling sensation in the tip of your nose that you get from smelling peppermint as opposed to the peppermint itself. So I get where they're coming from on it.
Yes. But I grow mint in the garden.
Yeah.
And it's not.
It's the same thing. It's mm-hmm. that it's that vapory kind of thing you get from any kind of mint, not so much the mint itself, but.
No. Please. I mean, Denise, I called you Louise.
That's okay. You can change my name to match Louise. The champagne bottle anytime you want.
You're drinking Cuvée Denise. What do you want, Cuvée Louise? A little bit of salinity to it, some citrus. You get a little bit of white peach on it and a lovely just underlayment of minerality to it. Really well put together champagne.
Brut Nature is a hard sell in America, though. That's the thing.
Well,
people want a little bit of residual sugar in their champagne.
Yeah. I mean, I'm perfectly fine with it. I think it's fabulous. So what do you think, Denise?
I like it. I do. I thought it was really interesting. We've already talked about the mint or peppermint or spearmint notes. I definitely get that on the palate as well with the saltiness and the grapefruit. So that's a really great and interesting combination of flavors. And it really makes it delicious for me. The finish is a little shorter than I would like it. A couple of the others today had longer finishes, and I enjoy that even in whiskey and wine and everything. So this was a little shorter than I had hoped.
It drops off in the back. In the front, it's still all over the
right,
front.
But the palate,
in the back, it goes
it's
down.
Beautiful.
But
so
still.
You live with it because you just take another sip.
We're splitting hairs with a damn
easy.
Laser at this point.
Just go back for more.
Let's find something we can say
it
about
going.
It that's not great. Yeah.
Right. Did anyone get white cherries? Did anybody say that?
I did not.
White cherries.
I'm going to agree with everything you both said. However, I'm going to add one.
In other words, he's not going to agree with us as usual.
Counterpoint.
Okay, yeah.
I love older champagnes, particularly ones that have spent a lot of time on the lees, and some companies will call them late disgorged or recently disgorged. And so I had really high expectations of this champagne, given that it spent 10 years on the lees. And honestly, it doesn't disappoint. It's definitely an outstanding champagne. However, I was looking for a little bit more of that yeasty, bready, English
style. You
wanted
15 years
champagne
on the lees.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I've had 10 year on the lees that tastes much more full bodied and earthy than this one. So if you're looking for that, that you may
you
see
need
in others.
To buy that Dom Perignon we were talking about, or the Cristal, something that's spent 15 years on the lees.
But for what it is, it's fantastic.
But correct. You're at an event. They're pouring this. It's the only one that they're pouring. It's lovely.
You're going
it's
back
beautiful.
For refills.
You're going back for refills. We are very fortunate to have six in front of us today, so it's easy to critique each one.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that the only thing missing that the labels get you your interest peaked on is 10 years on the lees.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that time on the lees left my palate a little bit short. Other than that, I'm just looking for things to be critical of because
imagine that.
Really,
it's a fantastic.
Never
show.
Heard wow. that come out of his mouth before. First off, reading the label, I mean, come on, we know he can't read,
right?
And second off, he's looking for things to complain about. Okay,
doesn't say 10 years.
And you notice all the bottles are in front of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he just keeps refilling his glass.
Of course.
So,
now I'm a fan of Pommery Cuvée Louise wines. For me, it depends on what I'm eating or what I'm going to pair it with, whether I prefer the regular Cuvée Louise or the Brut Nature. Brut Nature is just new to America. I know this has been around probably a little bit longer in Europe, but it's the first time that we've had Tête de Cuvée Brut Nature. I think most high-end, the Tête de Cuvée refers to the best blend of the wine coming out from the winery, the champagne house that year, like the Tête de Cuvée for Mort Chandon is called Dom Perignon. The Tête de Cuvée for Tattinger is what is Tattinger?
Comte de Champagne.
Comte de Champagne, exactly. And Louis Roederer's Tête de Cuvée is Cristal. So I mean the normal champagnes, and they put aside the best ones for separate aging or for going longer, and that's their Tête de Cuvée. But I don't think there's any other Tête de Cuvée besides these guys and Billy Carsamon that have Brut Nature, right? Or maybe even Billy Carsamon doesn't. Their Tête de Cuvée is not a Brut Nature. They don't make
maybe,
a Brut Nature.
Maybe the problem is it's 10 years on the lees and it's what 15 years in the bottle, you know. Total, and Maury's just not happy with that because Maury doesn't like, you know, old wine.
Bring us some fresh wine. Well, no more of this old stuff.
Yeah. That's what it is.
See, when you have less sugar in the bottle, you have the mouthfeel changes, and this should be a little bit leaner, a little bit more higher acidity.
Yeah. When you've got no dosage in it, it's sugar isn't just there in champagne to make it sweet. I mean, some...
It feeds the yeast.
Some are... You know, like a melted Slurpee, but it's like adding salt to food. It wakens up some of the flavors that you may not be able
but
to
sometimes,
pull out.
But sometimes we used in America, we think I think the wines we like are too sweet. I'm glad they're getting away.
No,
from
but that's right. What I'm saying is there. You really have to look a little harder when there's no dosage in it at all to be able to pick out the finer points because sometimes that little bit of sugar in it helps. Waking up some of those.
So, like as I was saying, for me, it depends on what I'm eating as to which wine I would choose. The Pommery Cuvée Louise, the regular one, fantastic. I think that's where that mouthfeel that Maury was looking for is there.
Mm-hmm.
5 grams of residual sugar. And the other one here in the Brut Nature, there's zero sugar added. So it's going to be a leaner wine, but I think it's a better, a more food-friendly wine. You want something more. Denise was talking about, what was it, foie gras?
Mm.
Yeah, this foie gras.
This would definitely be better with food for me.
Absolutely.
Whereas something with a little higher dosage in is going to be more of a walking around and drinking and being happy kind of champagne.
Yes, yes.
So,
bring me some fatty foods and bring, you know what Chef George always does from one of my chef I use, popcorns and truffle butter.
Mm.
Let's do that. Just bring me some oily
food. Why didn't you bring some today?
Hmm?
Add them in perfect addition.
There you go.
Truffle butter popcorn.
Are we giving this a rating?
We are.
Bobby Joe?
I'm just waiting for you to stop talking. We're going to be rating it 4 sips.
That's classified.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and you can catch all of our episodes where you found this one, as well as on terrestrial and satellite radio, and online at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, CBS Radio, Radio.com, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, Stitcher, and pretty much any other place you can listen to a podcast.
What's Podbean? Do I need to learn about Podbean now?
Can't keep up with them, can you? You have to pay attention.
Damn.
The easiest way to find this show on your phone is to ask Alexa or Siri, Google, or whoever the person is that talks back to you, Vladimir Putin, whatever.
My wife talks back to me, man. What do I do?
Play podcasts,
that?
Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback.
Please reach
out to us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. And our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at Sip, Suds, Smoke. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. And you'll also be able to interact with all the other fans on there. You can also check us out on Instagram at Sip Suds and Smokes or at Made Man Bob. Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. It's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. And I want to thank our co-host for joining. Thank you, Denise.
Oh, thank you. I really enjoyed this episode.
Would have never guessed. Thank you, Maury.
Merci beaucoup, Bob.
Oh, my.
A very fine day in the basement.
Sounds like Pepe right. Le Pew on heroin. Thank you, Harmeet.
How you say, thank you, Bob. I really enjoy this show.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
All right. So, well, for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. We thank you for joining us. And remember, life is too short to drink bad wine.
That's for sure.
That's a wrap, kids.
And fortunately, we have not had that issue today.
No, sir.
Where's the champagne? Where's the champagne wench with the bottle?
He's next to you. His name's Maury, the one with the three bottles sitting right next to him.
Champagne wench.
Yeah.
See?
That's his new name. We're going to tattoo it on his lower back.
CW.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.